Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
Across the time of Christendom and in the church history, the body of Christ has given, the body of Christ has been given some very real and some very basic absolute commands for us to be, to become, and to follow, to pursue, to follow after, to go after with everything we have. God has given us his holy word from his holy heart, from his holy mind, through his holy people for us to W-H-O-L-L-Y follow. When Jesus was on earth, among the many things that he taught, there are what I would tend to call three primary imperatives, three primary commands that Jesus has given us that, at least from where in my study and in my praying, seem to encapsulate the rest of all that he wants us to know. The books cannot even as the Word of God says, the books cannot even be written, but it would fill the earth. Ink would not even be enough with if it was in the ocean to share all that Jesus did. But we have what we call plenary inspiration and plenary inerrancy, i.e. we know everything we need to know for salvation. And it is holy, it is true, it is absolute. The first of those commands I would ask you to consider is this: come follow me / abide in me. There are some verses for that. And those, some of those texts are like this, Matthew 4:19. You may remember the story well. Jesus has been baptized. Then he goes into the desert, and he is tempted by Satan for after 40 days and 40 nights of without food and water. One of the biggest understatements of the Bible is said right there. He was hungry. I got to tell you, I don't know anyone here that would go one day without being hungry, let alone 40 days and 40 nights. We cannot understand the full perspective and impact of what the Bible says of that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted. The only thing I can really extrapolate from all of that is this: Jesus went into the desert to be tempted by the devil to prove that Satan was not only not Lord of the heaven, but he was not Lord of earth. Amen. God, Jesus, is still Lord of all. Depart from me. And Satan had to depart. I saw on the internet this week something that said showed Jesus and Satan, and Satan was kneeling down and saying, "I'll give you all of this if you'll fall down and worship me." And the word that God, Jesus came back with, "You don't get it. You're a loser already. I've already won." And while it's a little bit of a comical way of saying it, it's very powerfully true. Jesus had already won in heaven. Jesus was in the process of winning in that temptation. And Jesus was going to win about three and a half years later. Period. Done deal. Over. Completed. Another one is John 15, 5 through 9. And that is where he says, abide in me. Abide in me. Follow me. Abide in me. Isn't it interesting on both counts? Jesus is giving these kinds of things to say, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Abide in me and be fruitful. The two are inextricably tied together. If we are following Jesus, if we are abiding in him, we will be fruitful. Let me go to the second one. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Luke, as well as John's gospel, Luke 11:13 and John 14:16, these are the times when it shares with us, pardon me, where Jesus himself is saying, if those who are evil know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will the Father, if you ask, give the Holy Spirit? Did you get that? He's already saying you can have it. Filled with the Holy Spirit. John 20, verses 21 through 22, he is already risen. He is showing himself to them. He has appeared to them, and he breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then you go to Acts 1:4. Go back. Wait until you receive what was promised by the Father, the Holy Spirit. And then what happened in Acts 2? And everything forward, including into our time, the Holy Spirit. The third one is this. Bear fruit. This is given to us among many places. John 15:1-8, one of the most powerful truths of the overlap of this passage, to include both of these primary commands of when and if we abide, we will bear fruit. When and if we bear fruit, it's because we are abiding in Him. You cannot be saying you're abiding in Christ and not bearing fruit. There's a lot of times when you do and I do and we do things that we just wonder, is it even mattering? Does it really have impact? And yet it does. Yet it does. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Go, make, baptize, teach, bear fruit. But know I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. Bear fruit. In our time here, we have tried to be faithful to share with you, as well as actually remind me, your pastor, of the gravity of these great truths. We've attempted to share with you that we must be faithful in living and pursuing these great disciplines of discipleship. That's exactly what they are. They are disciplines of true discipleship. We've tried to not only preach it, but we've also tried to live it and lead it by example. Last week I gave you some of the things that God has been able to do among us, with us, through us, and that's only a snippet. It is incredible. I will guarantee you this. I'll get to this a little bit later, but I will guarantee you this. God's got greater things ahead of us, and Satan's got greater battles for us. But the last time I checked, I win. Jesus. I win. Period. Jesus. Follow Him evermore, even more, pursuing the life of holiness via a deeper walk. The Holy Spirit in us. But here's a tough truth. Scripture shares with us and attests, and our life can attest in us and among us, that the deeper we go in Christ, the more we pursue Him, the greater the battle will be. Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest saints to ever walk the face of the earth, ended up losing his head. I don't see that as your best life now. I mean, no disrespect, but I have an absolute being, I am absolutely appalled by pastors, if you call them that, TV preachers, if you want to call them that, saying opposite. Here's what I, though, do say, here's what I say, though. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. Go ahead. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You know what? College Church of the Nazarene, Olathe, Kansas ain't got nothing on you guys. Oops, 8. It's okay, Debbie. I know it's Kentuckian. Wow. There are people who have lost their lives because of their testimony for Jesus. There are people who have also fallen away because of the battle that they have faced because of Jesus. But there are also people who have dug in and dug in and dug in. The gospel according to grandma, tie a knot in the rope, bite down, and swing with it as it goes. Folks, that's tough. Karen and I have gone through some things, because when one goes through it, others go through it. But still, I still believe that while Satan will fight us, God is still raising up his church at Champion Church. Jim testified to that. And I just believe that God's got an incredible breakthrough for us, as he's already breaking through with his Holy Spirit, that will result in people coming to Jesus and fruit being born. Fruit being born. To that thought, let me make some statements and then proceed more toward the message today. Here's a statement of confession. Here's a statement of confession. And I have to say this as a pastor. There are far too many pastors, teachers, Bible teachers, professors, even laymen and church leaders who have not been vulnerable enough to be honest enough to tell you they can't remember the last person they won to Jesus. What's up with that? Or if they did, they can't remember when it was, but, oh yeah, way back. And a lot of it is they don't tell people of Jesus. If you're not telling people, you don't win people. I don't mean that blunt or brutal or rude, but it's true. I was an executive state elder, and this is why I delight in reports. There are pastors who are just appalled at having to file reports for the assembly year. But I delight in reports. Not because I'm some statistical genius and me and computers just do not mix. Ask my wife and ask Jonathan and ask David and ask anybody else. And all three of them are sitting there with grins on their face. I don't do computers except for the chainsaw, so to speak. But when we can report, here's what Jesus has done, take off shouting and say hallelujah, as long as we are busy about the Father's business. There's also the conviction there have been far too many pastors, church leaders, and biblical teachers that will stand convicted before the throne of God, laymen too, because they have not told people of Jesus. There's the condition, it seems to me, that as a pastor, and even more so as a believer, I'm a believer first and then called to be a pastor. Let's just underscore that if I could. The great promise of the Holy Spirit within us, resulting in the Holy Spirit from us and leading to witnessing by us, is incumbent upon each and every one of our hearts, on every one of all and every bit of our beings, so that we will bear fruit for Jesus. There are two challenges that I would suggest to you for us to get there. Two challenges. The first challenge is this, the passion for sharing. Well, that's just not my gift. It's not my call. I would strongly disagree based on this. Yes, all of us have spiritual gifts. Yes, some of us are gifted with the call of preaching and that. Some of us are gifted with the call of leadership. Some of us are gifted with the call of hospitality. My wife, if you didn't get them, you want those almond cookies. They're gluten-free. You want them. But all of us have a call, as I've already shared from some of them, and a lot more, to go make disciples. Go bear fruit. Go be me in the flesh to the world that is without me. Go be tell. The second challenge is this. How do we share that? Biblically, we can see that outlined in the scripture, but also commanded through example. And this brings us to the theme, the text, and the sermon in a sentence. Our theme is this, becoming fruitful trees in the garden of holiness living. Becoming fruitful trees in the garden of holiness living. living. Our text, it comes from a book of the Bible that is probably the absolute least amount of time spent in sermons. You can read through it in about 8 minutes. It's that short. It's one chapter long. And it's mainly about a slave that Paul is advocating to be forgiven and taken back. But here's what it says in the beginning. I'm going to use verse 6. I said 1:6, but it's Philemon verse 6 because there's one chapter. I pray that the sharing of your faith, did you get that? The sharing of your faith may become effective. Did you get that? In other words, bearing fruit. You share, you bear. For the full knowledge, the more you care, the more you share, the more effective you are, the more full knowledge you have and can give to other people so that they too will know of every good thing that is in us for Christ's sake. And our sermon in a sentence is this: fruitful living makes fruitful bearing in Christ pleasing. Fruitful living makes fruitful bearing for Christ pleasing. Let me ask you a question. How do we get to that fruitfulness? I'm going to go back to the basics. I'm going to go back to real basics. I think every pastor should do that on occasion. And my wife looked at me without saying a word and told me to do that. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I didn't mean that to happen. Karen was in MIT and other places. And she was part of Navigators. InterVarsity, okay. She was part of something. And it's going to sound a lot like that, InterVarsity and Navigators, and that's okay. Let's just go back to the basics together. Can we do that today? For those who are on the internet, I'm going to encourage you, dwell with us, live with us for these next few minutes. And let's share together, not with just these people that are here. And at this cold of weather, we've got this kind of a crowd, believe me. That's incredible. We'll take it. But all of us together, go back to the basics. Point one is this: have a personal relationship in and with Jesus. I told you it'd be back to the basics. Have a personal relationship. I didn't say a personal knowledge. I did not say a personal awareness. I did not say a personal, I think I can understand what it says. I did not say what somebody else told me, and therefore I accept. I said a personal relationship in and with Jesus. In and with Jesus. In other words, get in him and stay, and then stay with him. In him and then with him. Point A is this. Romans. For all of my ABCs, it's going to be scripture. I just believe that's being Bible-based. And that's where we are here. At least this pastor. Romans 3, 21 through 23, verse 21. Now the righteousness, the rightness of God, the holiness of God, the holy quality of God has been manifest apart from the law. What does that mean? The law revealed it, but the manifestation is apart from the law. The law says here's what you should be doing. But the holiness, the righteousness of God is not contained only by the law, but it is apart from the law because of who he is. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus is for all who believe. Did you get it? Personal relationship for all who believe. For there is no distinction, verse 23, all have sinned. You, I, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned, but we've all harmatied. We've all fallen short as well. Two different words, two different meanings. But we've all sinned. And that sin makes us fall short of the glory of God. When I stumble and I fall short, if I know it and did it wrong anyway, that's sin. If I burnt the toast instead of watching the toast, that's not sin. That's falling short. But look at 24. because of this righteousness, because of this God, because of this Jesus from God, all are also justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Do we have a convicting experience that you are and or were a sinner apart from God, trampling on his blood, not paying attention, and disregarding his sacredness of who he is? I will tell you what I have noted across the years. This is my 51st year coming up in ministry. In the summer of this year, it will be 51 years. And I have noticed this. You show me someone who disregards the things of God and the places of God, I will show you someone who has a life that is deficit of the holiness of God. I'm not trying to pass judgment. I'm not trying to be rude. But a tree is known by its fruits. And that's where we get the opportunity, if they will let us, to do discipleship. Grace, love, restoration, discipleship. Have we had an encounter with Jesus? For it is only in Jesus that the experience is able to be experienced and shared and be fruitful, even as we are required to be. Have we had a recognition about Jesus? He provides the grace, the redemption, the forgiveness that can and must be yours, mine, ours. You, I, we can and must have this experience, this relationship in and with Jesus to experience the effective faith, the full faith that will lead to and result in full knowledge of every good thing for the sake of Christ. The sake of Christ, not Micah. The sake of Christ, not you. The sake of Christ. Are we being fruitful trees in the garden of holiness living? Point B is this, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, did you get that, sins? He is faithful, he is just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Have we had an encounter? Do we really see ourselves as what we were so that we can be transformed into what we can become and have that relationship in and with Jesus? Because if we're not bearing fruit, if we're not fishing for men, I shudder to think, have we really had a relationship in Jesus and now with Jesus? Wow. This hit me hard this week, but I got to share it. That is powerful. No, attest to and have an experience of confessing my sins. Not someone else's, mine. I can pray for someone. I can pray about what they have done to me, and I've been doing that lately because of the impact of what's happened by some people. But I have to confess my sins. I'm not responsible for yours, but I am responsible for mine. And I have to confess my sins. No one attests to and have an experience of being cleansed from all unrighteousness. No secret rooms. God knows them anyway, folks. And those around you probably know them pretty much anyway as well. You're not hiding anything. Nothing held back. For all is, wants to be, Jesus wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to do that. But it's conditional if we confess. If we confess. Are you being fruitful? If not, why not? Luke 8:17 says this, and this is one of the most haunting verses in Scripture. It's not up there. Luke chapter 8, verse 17. Luke 8, 17. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known or come to light. That can be very haunting. There's a lot of things that a lot of people hide. I'm not talking politically, though. Of course, that's part of it. But there's a lot of things a lot of people try to hide a lot. But nothing will be hidden, including lack of time in the Word, lack of time praying. And I'm going to say another word that most people don't want to hear about, but lack of time fasting. Doing without something so you can focus on Him. And especially for and about someone or something needed. But also greatly needed. This compels us to be fully confessing and in a relationship in and with Jesus. Experience, know, and accept the same forgiveness, the same faithfulness of the same Jesus to have the same cleansing. Only then can you, I, and we know effective faith, full faith, resulting in full knowledge of every good thing. Point C is this, Galatians 2:20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. Back to the relationship in and with Jesus. And the life I now live in the flesh, i.e. my mortal body, I now know and I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Be dead to the sin that is in you versus was in you. That was in you versus is in you. Sin is so powerful, and I'm going to get to this a little bit later, because the evil one is so devious and powerful. But be transformed away from that sin, that habit, that personality issue, that stumbling block, that weight and sin that easily besets. Throw it off and then run like the Dickens away from it, the race that is set before you, looking into Jesus. That is the only hope, but it is the all-eternal hope and the all-victorious hope. Be aware of your eternal value. Jesus, the Son of God, gave himself for you. We are saved from hell itself. We are saved to Jesus himself. And we are saved for discipleship in ourselves. Be crucified with Christ. Know his resurrection. Be in and with Jesus. Be fishers of men and abiding in him. So that our witness and our testimony will then be fruitful. Fruit living makes fruit bearing for Christ pleasing. Point one was personal relationship. Point two is having a personal inescapability, that's a big word, and compelling us for sharing. What do I mean by that? Point A is this, John 20, 21 through 22. The Father has sent me, so send I you. 22, and having said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son with an inescapable plan. Share the message of my redemption through your blood for them. That God would love a sinner such as I is so far beyond me that I cannot even begin to explain it or fathom it. That is the story of the Word of God. And And that is the reason for the cross. The Father sent the Son with the compelling of the Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. You may remember the story well. John is baptizing. The Holy Spirit descends on him. A dove comes down and a voice is heard. This is my Son. Did Jesus need the Holy Spirit then? No. He was already holy. He was already pure. He was already spotless. He was already sinless. And yet when Jesus experienced him, the Holy Spirit, descending to where people could not help but hear, that testified as to this is the Son of God. And now you cannot escape that revelation. The Father sent the Son with all of himself. The two were one in purpose, one in passion, one in plan, power, personification, and purpose. Be my voice. Let me be experienced and let me be encountered by people through you. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. That is how it is to be because of the Jesus in us. Well, you don't understand. You don't know where it works. Still be Jesus. Well, you ought to hear those people at the grocery store. Still be Jesus. What about the gas station? Oh, that's a wonderful rich one. Heard a man cussing out the gas pump this week. I don't think the gas pump heard a single word of it. I just don't think it did. I got to tell you, if that gas pump had done to me what it did to him, I'd have been mad. But I would not have used the words, believe me, that he used, believe me. Be Jesus. Have we become content with the place where we're at that has led to not sharing? Or are we broken for the condition of other people? Point B is this, Acts 4:19-20. Acts 4:19-20. But Peter and John, let's stop a minute. Here's the story. They've been called in. They won't keep their mouth shut. They don't know how. Peter was always that way. Let me say this a bit. God took the personality that he put in Peter. He transformed not the personality, but he transformed the person. And then the personality was used in a holy way, in holiness, for holy proclamation. He took what sin and self had made a liability, and then he made it what God used, that upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. And what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Peter and John answered, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you're the one that's got to make that decision. You judge. Verse 20. For we cannot but speak what we have seen and what we have heard. We've had a relationship. We've seen. We've heard. Now we are compelled. We cannot get away from it. You see where they're so glued together? Am I communicating? Are you understanding what I'm trying to share? The inability to escape from it, of not speaking, even in the face of authority figures that were present, they could have instantly had him killed. Instantly. Same group of people that condemned Jesus. They were just standing in front of those same group of people, and they could have instantly had him killed. You decide, but for us, we cannot help but speak what we have seen and heard. Compelling person to be speaking about. We have seen, we have heard, we have experienced. And it's undeniable. And a refusal to be refused. They would go forward, they would go boldly, and they would go on in speaking for Jesus. Jesus and about Jesus and sharing Jesus. Holy, eternal, caring. And maybe that's really where it comes down to. Is there a holy and an eternal caring about others that it's always risk? It's always worth the risk to be rejected or refused, but you still were faithful to Jesus. There's three stories, something about this. Luke 8, it's not there. Luke 8, 26 through 39, and I picked this up in my morning devotions. The demon-obsessed and possessed man, he refused to keep his big mouth shut. And I say that sort of lightly. And Jesus delivered him. And then he refused to keep his big mouth shut. And he went and told everyone about Jesus. He was in his right mind. He was clothed. He could not be held with chains. He lived in the tombs. And after he was transformed, he was right mind. He was clothed. He didn't need chains. And he told, this is what happened to me. There's Luke 8, 43 through 48. A woman with an issue of blood, she refused to be rejected. And Jesus turns and says, who touched me? Peter says, oh, come on. You got to be kidding me. The Micah David Rogers interpretation. You got to be kidding me. All these people around you and you're saying, who touched me? What did Jesus say? I have sensed power go out of me. Not just someone wanting to run up and grab me and get my autograph, so to speak, or say, hey, I touched Jesus. But power. And she was healed. She experienced. She encountered. She had, and she would not be quiet. And then Luke 8, 40 through 42, and 49 through 56, the issue of blood lady was stacked in between the full account of Jairus. Jairus has a daughter. She's give or take about 10 years old. And he sends people to Jesus and saying, please come before my daughter dies that you will touch her. And Jesus delays and the daughter dies. And someone from Jairus' house comes and says, you don't need to trouble him. She's dead. But Jesus still goes. He says an amazing statement. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And people laugh at him. So he takes Peter, James, and John and mom and dad. And no one else. All you're going to do is laugh. I don't need you. And he touches her. And life comes back. And they could not help but speak what they had seen and experienced and heard. Point C is John 15, 2 through 4, or 2 and 4. John 15, 2, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. You getting that? That was not me, Karen. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. You're done. You're cast. You're cut. You're thrown out. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Ouch. I don't like pruning. I'm going to be really upfront with you. I'm a pastor. I've been at this a while. But I don't like pruning. A lot of times God uses circumstances and things that happen to you. And I cannot explain why God allows. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's awfully hard as to why. God still prunes through it. He never justifies the what, but he rebuilds the who. And he uses the who that encountered the what. To make more for his glory. more fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, that's tough. I look out over this crowd and I know some of the things that some of you have been through. But God. One of the first sermons I preached after we got here in March, but grace defined. But God. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that's hard. God, why couldn't you have taken care of it or prevented it and done it a different way? Can I just share something with you? It's not sin to ask God why. Because if we say it as a sinner that asks God why, then Jesus just became the biggest sinner. Why have you forsaken me? But he prunes. Sometimes to make us stand strong and be a voice against what happened. Every time to stand strong and be a channel of grace to others through what happened. So that eternally we will dwell with him by being pruned through what happened. I don't know where that came from. It's not here. Except there. And there are those here. I'm not going to embarrass them, Hazel. Or Donna. Who have been used by God incredibly and are still being used by God incredibly. And many more here who are using their life and saying, let me tell you what I think of Jesus. I found in him a friend so strong and true. I can't explain why, but I can tell you about the who. And they're telling people of Jesus. And because of these two ladies, there are other people here today that have encountered this church and Jesus because of them, saying, let me tell you. Let me invite you. Oh, by the way, neither one of them have a theology degree. They have a Jesus degree. Did you hear that? A Jesus degree. So thank you to both of you. I've embarrassed you, and I'll probably hear about it, but that's okay. If you don't make me hear about it, I'll be very upset with you. No, I'm not. I didn't hear you.
As long as you know why I'm being good.
But you two ladies are such an inspiration. Here. Only in continuing to be the branch God of God, unexplainably does he allow things to prune us, yet even in that, to bear more fruit. Is our holiness experience so deep that even when the it occurs, I'm as far off of this sermon as I'm going to get, I think. I've got a little bit. Bear with me, Timothy. But is our holiness so deep that even when it happens, we're still there? And through the it that happens, we still care? And because of the it that happens, we still share? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else can take sin, but also the darkness from me. Oh, how much he truly cares for me. I want to be careful because I know I have military here in the congregation, and it was none of these people. That's why when I tell you what I'm going to say, I needed to do that. But I've had people tell me, well, people have been around the military. They don't cry like that. Get over it. You can be wrong. It's okay. Personal relationship, point one. Personal inescapability and sharing, point two. And possess an undimmed reality that's convicting, point three. I just went beyond half a 3/4 of a page, but that's okay. It was only 20 pages long to begin with. It wasn't. Possess an undimmed reality that's convicting. Point A, John 3:16-17. Here's where it hits the road, folks. A, have the relationship. B, be unable to escape sharing. And C, or three, undimmed reality that's convicting. John 3:16-17. You know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The world. The world. The world. That whoever believes in him, whosoever believeth in him, in the King of James Version, should not perish but have an everlasting or eternal life. Verse 17. Here we go. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would or and could be saved. All creation, all the world have such an eternal value of their soul that the very Son of God came to redeem them. They have just that much value, including you. I don't know what the value you feel about yourself is today, but let me share this with you. The blood of Jesus came for you. You have so much value that Jesus himself died for you, and you have that eternal value that's greater than any other estimable maybe value. All creation, all the world needs to be introduced to the belief in Jesus so they will have eternal life. They are just that wanted by God. I said in Jesus, not about him. I was watching on the internet in preparation for the sermon this week, and this man was walking up and he said, do you know who Jesus is? Well, I've heard about him. That's what's out there. Well, yeah, I know about him from Vacation Bible School. Wow, I'm hoping that if not this summer, starting next summer, we can do it again. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. The truths I learned in VBS are part of what got me back to Jesus after my rebellious teenager years. Ouch. Well, yeah, my mom and dad were. No, I don't want to know if you know about him. I want to know, do you know him personally? Do you have devotions together? Do you pray with each other? I'm going to tell you, every preacher struggles. I don't care who they are. It's so easy to get yourself so sidetracked and so overwhelmed and so this and so that. Karen goes to Mount Vernon and I'll say, it's your turn to pray. No, it's your turn. 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 But we still pray together. Are we getting it? And all creation, all the world already has had the provision and the purpose of God through the person of God via the Son of God to be saved, to become family of God, the bride of Christ. They are just that sought after by God. Point B is John 3:18-19. Kind of got stuck in John. If I were going to get a doctoral dissertation, it would be on Johannine or John, the things that John wrote, or maybe even Luke. John 3:18-19, verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but, did you get that big, huge three-letter word, but, not just in capitalizations up there, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Because, why? Because he has not believed in, not just about, but in. Well, I heard about him at VBS. In, not just my grandma. In, not just because of a concert or something on the radio, but in the name of the Son of God. And this is the judgment, verse 19. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, lest his works be exposed. You see, we don't want things shown. We don't want to be pruned. We don't want to be changed. We don't want to be different. We don't want to be completely transformed, because that we like who we are enough to where we don't want it different. And we understand that sometimes those things we are like causes problems. But can we be sick and tired enough of being sick and tired to where we lay it at the foot of the cross? Can we finally get to the point to where we're so sick and tired of not being passionate for Jesus and not being transformed by Jesus and not telling people of Jesus that we are just so devastated and broken that we have to find ourselves kneeling, as it were, over a steering wheel, somewhere between the hamburger and the cheese on our sandwich? You laugh, and I'm not being funny. Can we be sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are we getting it? All creation have such eternal value of God that all hell itself came against it, because they had, Satan had, by his nature had, to corrupt the perfectness of God on earth. He'd already done it in heaven. And a third of his angels got kicked out. All creation, all the world have such an eternal value to God that all hell and all of Satan himself came to delude, to entice, to destroy. But God sent his Son into the world that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Satan had already done that. But that the world through him could be saved. You see, I fear as a pastor, I fear greatly. Their two greatest horrors in the church at large must rebel against are these. The two greatest fallings, the two greatest failings are these. First, there's a deficit in sharing and witnessing. We become fine and dandy. We sit in our same seats. And by the way, Gail, you're not in your seat. I saw it. But we sit in our same seats. We want to be like we've always been. And do not let me be asked or expected to be different. Prune to bear more fruit. The second is this: the church at large has not gained the fullness of what and must spiritually and personally be grasped in getting a true glimpse of hell. There I said it. Hell. Eternally separated from God, yet seeing the glory of heaven. Where do you get that in the Bible? The rich young man and the poor beggar. The beggar went to be with Jesus. The rich man went to hell, and he saw it all. You don't see anybody saying they saw him in hell. He saw it all. They will see who they rejected and what they missed if they are not given the opportunity to encounter Jesus. After that, I cannot make you decide. But what I can do is say, can I share something with you? Eternal torment and agony, fire, suffering, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, unquenchable thirst that never, ever ends. In the medical community, we call some of that dehydration synthesis. Ladies and gentlemen, that's beyond dehydration synthesis. It is absolute parchment that cannot even be described. Fire, burning, wailing, weeping, screaming for eternity. Eternal memory and awareness, memories of opportunity missed and ignored. Memories of opportunity is what we should have and could have and must have done if we were not going to be there. But also of what they will encounter if we do not share. There is something different about that name. Eternal realization, and this is the one that still gets me. Satan, even in heaven, in the very perfect throne of God, led one third of the angels away. Such power of the evilness of Satan. His name was Lucifer, star of the morning, and it got changed to Satan, deceiver. And he had such power when he got cast away that all of earth and all of mankind now are condemned without Jesus. Hence, Jesus became the substitute for us. Cannot even begin to grasp the heart and mind of God as he looked across heaven and saw his son, knowing his son would have to be the one to go down to this earth after Satan did what he did. It was evidently after creation. And before we hear about Adam and Eve, he had decided. And he had to look across heaven and see his son, knowing his son would have to die. And he would have to turn his back on his very son. That's how valuable these people are, folks. We are called to be fruitful, stay fruitful, not fail to have fruit of people coming to an encounter with Jesus. This week, there's been two people that I have been part of that have come back to Jesus or been led to Jesus. One of them testified on Wednesday night. I'm going to let him tell his story. The other one was at a gas station. You didn't know you could have church at a gas station. But not only that, have an altar over a gas pump. But you can. Standing there, we were trying to minister to where he could get enough gas to get up to Cleveland yesterday and pick up his wife. And I shared Jesus. Became a believer at Walmart. Gas station amid the aroma and of the fumes of unleaded gas. Came the aromaticity of the beauty of a transformed life. We are told to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that his house would be full. But look, if you would, it's not up there. And yeah, it is. I thought of that one. John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove that you are my disciples. I'm going to ask you to stand. I didn't know how to end this, and so I've been kind of kicking it around, but I'm going to ask you to stand for a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and think of someone you know, some people you know, some groups you know, some families you know that don't know Jesus. ask you to be broken for them this week. Even if you're not a person of tears physically, I'm going to ask you to be shedding tears emotionally and spiritually. And I'm going to ask you to be broken for each of yourselves. Each of yourselves, that there's been a deficit in not sharing. You know, we just may need a good old-fashioned altar call and calling people to say, Lord, I've been deficit. I got too busy in the vacuuming and the cleaning and the cooking and the... I've been deficit. I wanted to have the... I had a call of God on my life, but I didn't change it to where I'm the call. I'm the God of my call. I've been deficit. Let's do this. I'm going to sing, and if you want to be different, you see, we have a goal of attendance and stuff, but you know what? That comes directly as in relationship to being transformed. The goals will be achieved in terms of attendance. You know what? They're going to be blown out the water. We're going to wonder why we dream so low. But I think we ought to be praying and fasting for God the Holy Spirit to descend on us in a way like we've never had before, that we would be transformed. And maybe it ought to start today. I want to ask you. I want to ask you to recommit your life to Jesus. Now. Today. So that from now on, we become true disciples to come, follow, abide in Him, and then make fruit. All to Jesus I resurrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I resurrender all. I resurrender all. Make that prayer. We're going to gather down here together as a group, as a family of God. I'm going to invite you to come, and I'm going to sing it again, but I want you to make that decision. Is this what you want for your life so that you will be fruitful? Yes, pruned, but not cast away. All to Jesus I resurrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. don't want you to accept your closed eyes at the cross. Jesus, we are here. We've got to be transformed as a church. We've got to be transformed as individuals. We've got to realize that sometimes horrible stuff happens to that, and from that we get pruned. But we are not here as our identity about the stuff. We are here, despite the stuff, to be about the Savior. We are here to be made, following after you, abiding, and being disciples of Jesus that go into the world, preach, teach, baptize, make disciples, and be witnesses, because of what's inside that has to come out. And as we look at the scripture, the true measure of discipleship, that we prove we are your disciples, have been transformed to be your disciples, that we do not dictate where, we don't dictate anything, but we tell of Jesus. Lord, it may have been a long time since some of these people have shared Jesus. May there be a brokenness about that that is devastating, but also transforming. If there's secret stuff, may it be confessed and forsaken and corrected. And above all, Lord, let us go from here being the people you have called us to be. Holiness living, holiness trees, and holiness living that produce holy fruit. I pray, Lord, that you would so embed in our mind and our heart that we cannot get away from it. Not just a name in a Rolodex, but a heart in our hearts, their heart in our hearts. Without Jesus, it's hell. But with Jesus, it's eternal glory. And then compel us that we cannot escape it, to tell the blessed story of the cross of Jesus and the life of Jesus and the transformation of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.